Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So how do you define literate in the 21st century? Do we take it to mean technologically literate, just read and write? Or perhaps in an age of globalization and increasing interconnectedness, we also take it to mean being literate in different cultures? Well, whichever way you define it, according to our next guest, the 21st century definition of literate must include visual fluency. We're joined now by Stephen Apcon. He's the founder and executive director of the Jacob G. Burns Film Center in Westchester in Pleasantville. And he's the author of the new book, The Age of the Image, Redefining Literacy in a World of Screens. Stephen Apcon, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. Great to be here.
And for the sake of clarity, first of all, what do you mean by the term visual literacy?
I think what I mean by the term visual literacy is the ability to both derive meaning from the images that we consume every day, as well as the ability to express oneself in images.
And why is it so important, in your opinion, for us to integrate visual literacy into our daily lives?
The visual images are just another tool in the toolbox, and I believe that communication is really in response to our human need to communicate in as direct and emotional and compelling a way as possible. What we'd like to be able to do when we see a scene of injustice or a beautiful sunset is to take somebody and to put them into our bodies to experience what we experience, to feel what we feel, to see what we see. And we don't have the ability to do that yet, so we use words and we use other conventions. And as it turns out, images are the most powerful way to communicate those kinds of emotional experiences.
Do we need to be taught visual literacy? I'm thinking of this commercial that's airing on commercial radio stations that I've heard a few times for one of the cell phone carriers. And the plot is that there's a mother of a three-year-old, and she keeps the three-year-old happy by letting him watch his favorite movie on her phone when they're out and she needs to be paying attention to something else. And so the lesson, the subtext of that commercial for me is, well, even a three-year-old is visually literate, and this is the world people are growing up in, and it's people who grow up in the older generation who have to catch up.
There's a difference between receptive literacy and expressive literacy. So we have the ability in terms of reading and writing. We learn how to read before we learn how to write. And expressive literacy becomes so important. It's about a dialogue. So it's important to integrate both the viewing as well as the production.
So you want to teach kids as they're going to school, in addition to reading and writing and math and science, to use Final Cut Pro, for example, or other visual, literally video editing programs? Is that the kind of visual expressiveness that you're talking about?
Well, look, communication's always been the core of our educational experience, and it's also the way that we navigate the world. It's the way that we deal with employment. And whatever profession we are, we need communication as the core. So as the tools of communication evolve, we need to respond to it. The vast majority of information we're receiving today on a daily basis is delivered through visual media. When you walk through the streets of New York, you're exposed to over 5,000 images a day. The inventory of screens in our homes that we're exposed to has exploded. So this is a language that we need to be able to communicate in. You had a guest on Friday talking about Common Core standards.
Yes.
And then you had the chancellor of the CUNY system this morning talking about Common Core standards and readiness for higher education. When this is the core and the way that we communicate, the core standards actually talk about visual texts and the ability both to discern what's being said to you, to decode as well as to encode information into these texts. So it is something that is being valued by our schools.
So you run a film center, but this is not just a matter of art to you, it sounds like. An art teacher will say that I don't just teach people to draw, I teach people to see. But this is not just about art. This is about business. This is about science. Is this where you're going with this?
Yes. It doesn't matter what profession you're going to. And I agree with what the art teacher would say as well. But you need to have these skills regardless of what profession you're going into. In our education programs, which we've been running for over the last 12 years, we are interested not just in the kids who want to go off to become the next Steven Spielberg or Ron Howard or Jonathan Demme. Those kids find us. They take every class, they go off to film schools, and they go on their profession. We believe that these are the kinds of skills that are needed for every student. It's really needed for every citizen. The two goals of education have always been to create a workforce, to create somebody who is employable, and to create good citizens. Increasingly, the way that we participate in society, the way we engage in democracy, and the way we participate in the global economy is through this kind of communication.
Posting YouTube videos as well as reading the voter guides and going to the polls.
Absolutely.
212-433-WNYC is our phone number if anybody wants to get in on this. Does anybody practice this? Anybody from any educational institution at any level listening and feel like visual literacy is being taught where you are and that it is part of a core education curriculum for the 21st century? As we talked to Stephen Apcon, founder of the Jacob G. Burns Film Center in Pleasantville and author of the new book, The Age of the Image, Redefining Literacy in a World of Screens, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Mark in Yonkers, you're on the air. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking the call. I am a public school teacher in the Yonkers public school system, which is an inner city system under tremendous pressures, financial, and because of the so-called reforms that are taking place in education. And the school that I work in, it's called Pearl Hawthorne. We are lucky to have members of Jacob Burns in our school. They've been coming in for quite some time, and they have been doing a tremendous work in terms of teaching kids animation techniques. And I have to tell you that when I look around the schools and I see the kids suffering with the standardized tests, with all of these pressures that are being brought to bear these days, to walk past these classrooms where these kids are engaged and are happy and are active and are using their imagination along with all of the other skills that we want them to learn, I just wanted to say thank you to the Jacob Burns Festival and to your guests, because I see firsthand every day the impact that their kind of outreach is doing in bringing real learning to the classroom.
And do you think, Mark, from your experience, that they're learning something other than filmmaking as expression that does relate to other academic fields?
Oh, absolutely. I myself am a music teacher and an arts advocate in general. You know, we are used to these days in justifying arts education because of what they bring to other purviews. You know, we say that kids who study music do better in math or they do better in language. We say that kids who study dance are, healthier. But what I see in classes like the ones that Jacob Burns are in, we see cooperation, mm-hmm. we see cooperative learning, we see original thought being pulled out of these kids instead of rote memorization or regurgitating of facts.
I got you, Mark, and I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much for your call. So you got one vote from a client.
Which is great. We love working in the Yonkers school system. And in response to your question, Brian, I would say that our animation program, for instance, is integrated into the science curriculum, the math curriculum, the language arts curriculum. It turns out animation is all about math. So at some point in the process, when the kids are on the floor creating these original animated films, they look up at us and say, hold on a second, you're teaching us something. The reality is that they're learning these core content skills, and they're also learning about visual storytelling. But they're also gaining the life skills, which are so important in the 21st century, around creativity and collaboration and communication and cross-cultural understanding and empathy, problem-solving and risk-taking.
Janet in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Oh, hi. This is so great. I've been a graphic designer for decades and decades, and I just want to interject something a little bit different, which is most people have been literate without realizing it for their whole entire lives by everything that's around them, the posters, the literature, the brochures, the signs, even the signage of New York City, which is so wonderful. And I would like to point out that people are manipulated visually without realizing it, and I don't want to complicate it by talking too much about that. But
no, I understand what you're saying, Janet. visual literacy is also media literacy, to understand advertising and marketing and ways that that people are trying to manipulate you.
Yes, it is, to understand who's telling the story and why they're telling it and what their agenda is. Absolutely.
Martin Scorsese wrote the foreword to your book. And in it, he says one of the things you emphasize is the continuity between word and image as opposed to the divide. Where does word come in? Where is that continuity?
As new literacies emerge, new forms of communication, they don't negate past forms. We're on the radio talking about a book about visual images. So all of these forms of literacy are brought forward. And
we these days in the multimedia era produce videos for our radio station's website.
I think the videos that come out of NYC and NPR are extraordinary. And the images that people don't know about that are online are really quite extraordinary. And there is a convergence. We're at this moment, Brian, where there's a confluence between the tools of creation and most importantly, the tools of distribution, that we can begin to talk to each other and we can tell our stories. It's almost returning to an oral storytelling tradition of being able to see facial gesture and nuance and seeing the construction of this kind of media.
We're just about out of time. What's showing at Burns these days?
Right now, we're about to finish a Jewish film festival, and we move on to Arab cinema and then classic Italian.
Wow, that's great. And a lot of people may not know that you can get that kind of fare in Westchester County, but you can.
Yes, you can. We show about 450 different films a year.
One last thing about the book. You titled one of the chapters, The Evolution of the Audience. How is the audience evolving?
I think the audience is getting much more sophisticated. You know, cinema started with cinema of spectacle and boxing cats and things like that. And it's not so strange that you're seeing cat videos up on YouTube as being the leading draw these days. But people are becoming much more sophisticated, both in their viewing and most importantly in their creation of videos. And it's something that we all need to be thinking about.
All right. You haven't seen the new side video. Oh, never mind. We'll talk about that another day. But certainly a gentleman. Haha. Stephen Apkon. He's the founder and executive director of the Jacob G. Burns Film Center and the author of the new book, The Age of the Image, Redefining Literacy in a World of Screens, with a foreword by Martin Scorsese. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Great to be here.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, here comes the New York City Bike Share Program. It's only been a few days since people could, and thousands have already signed up. We'll talk about it with our Andrea Bernstein from Transportation Nation. Stay tuned.